الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all that exists. I testify that Allah is the only true God worthy of being worshipped, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah's salah and salam be upon the Prophet, his noble and pure family, and his noble companions and those who follow on their path until the day of resurrection. What you will hear now are questions and answers that represent this book, which is called Fiqh al-Ibadat, Understanding Worship, which is by our Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala. May Allah's mercy be upon him. And the first section pertains to our creed, our aqeedah. The first title is the Tawheed and Belief, the purpose behind the creation of mankind. Question one. What is the purpose of creating mankind? The answer. Before I answer this question, I would like to point to a general foundation regarding what Allah the Mighty and Majestic creates and legislates. This basis is derived from Allah's saying, وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الْحَاكِمِينَ, as in Surah Yusuf 12:80. Only Allah is the all-knowing, the all-wise. And his saying, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا, verily, Allah is ever all-knower, all-wise, as in Surah Al-Ahzab 33:1, as well as many other ayat, many other verses that prove the affirmation of hikmah, perfect wisdom, to Allah the Mighty and Majestic as regard to what he creates and legislates, that is, with respect to both his kawniyya, his universal, and his shar'iyya, his legislative decrees. In fact, there is nothing which Allah creates except with wisdom, whether this is in the bringing of its existence or in making it non-existing. There is nothing that Allah, the one free of all imperfection and the most high, ordains but with wisdom, whether this is the rendering of it to be obligatory, forbidden, or permissible. These qualities of wisdom, comprised in Allah's legislative and universal decrees, may be known or unknown to us, and it may be known to some people but not to others, depending on the degree of knowledge and understanding which Allah bestows upon them. Once this is decided, then we say that indeed Allah has created the jinn and mankind for a great wisdom and a noble objective. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And that is the worship of him, the most blessed, the most high. As he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, stated, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. In Surah Al-Dhariyat 51:56, and I didn't create the jinn and mankind except that they should worship me. And he, the most high, also said, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. in Surah Al-Mu'minun 23:115. Do you think that we created you in play and for no purpose, and that you would not be brought back to us for requital? أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَنْ يُتْرَكَ سُدَى. Does man think that he will be left neglected, meaning without being punished or rewarded for the obligatory duties enjoyed by his Lord on him? And many other verses that point out that Allah the Exalted has the most profound wisdom in the creation of the jinn and mankind, and it is the worship of Him alone. And al-ibadah, which we often hear, worship, is humiliating oneself to Allah the Mighty and Majestic with love and awe, by doing that which He has ordered and avoiding that which He has forbidden in the manner prescribed by the Sharia, by the legislations and commands. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, as in Surah Al-Bayyinah 98:5. And they were commanded not, but they should worship Allah and worship none but Him alone, meaning abstaining from ascribing partners to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is indeed the wisdom in the creation of the jinn and mankind. Accordingly, whoever rebels against his Lord and disdains to worship Him, then, in fact, he is abandoning this wisdom for which Allah has created the ibad, the slaves, creation. His act testifies that Allah the Most High created the creation aimlessly and without any purpose. Even though he may not declare this openly, nevertheless, this is necessitated by his rejection and rebellion against obeying his Rabb Allah. So this was the first question. The second question: is there a meaning for ibadah, for worship, such that it is possible for us to know of? Does it have a general and a specific meaning? This is the second question. The answer: yes, its general meaning is, as I have indicated earlier, namely the submission to Allah the Mighty and Majestic with love and awe, by doing that which He commands and avoiding that which He has forbidden, and in the manner set forth by His legislations. This is the general meaning of ibadah, of worship. This is the general meaning of ibadah. Now, the specific meaning is its meaning in detail, meaning then, as Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah defined it as, quote, ibadah in its specific or detailed meaning is, quote, it is a comprehensive name covering whatever Allah loves and is pleased with, both sayings and actions, the apparent and the hidden. It is a comprehensive name covering whatever Allah loves and is pleased with, both sayings and actions, the apparent and the hidden, such as al-khawf, fearing, al-khashya, having awe, al-tawakkul, having true trust and reliance, salah, prayers, zakah, obligatory charity, fasting, siyam, and the like, from the ordinances of Islam. Then, if you mean that, the general and specific meaning of ibadah, of worship, is what has been mentioned by some scholars mainly, do you want me to repeat that? I can do that, inshallah. طيب. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah defined the specific or the detailed meaning to be, quote, Ibadah is a comprehensive name covering whatever Allah loves and is pleased with, both sayings and actions, the apparent and the hidden, such as al-khawf, fearing, such as al-khashya, having awe, tawakkul, having true trust and reliance, salah, prayers, zakah, obligatory charity, siyam, fasting, and the like from the ordinances of Islam. Then if you mean that the general and specific meaning of ibadah is what has been mentioned by some scholars, namely that ibadah is either kawniyya, universal, or shar'iyya, legislative, meaning that man could be in a universal and legislative state of submission to Allah, then the universal worship is a general one, comprising the believer and unbeliever. After khawf, such as fearing, having awe, khashya, tawakkul, having true trust and reliance, salah, prayers, zakah, fasting, and the like from the ordinances of Islam. Now if I have to repeat it the fifth time, then I will charge you. So we continue. Then if you mean that the general, okay, then if you mean that the general and specific meaning of ibadah is what has been mentioned by some scholars, namely that ibadah is either kawniyya, universal, or shar'iyya, legislative, meaning that man could be in a universal and legislative state of submission to Allah, then the universal worship is a general one, is to be considered as a general one, yani comprising the believer and the non-believer, the righteous as well as the wicked. Why? Because no one can escape the universal will of Allah. Exactly. Submitting to Allah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِن كُلُّ مَن فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِلَّا آتِ الرَّحْمَانِ عَبْدًا. As in Surah Maryam 19:93. There is none in the heavens and the earth but comes to Ar-Rahman as a slave. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Therefore, all that is in the heavens and the earth is in the universal sense, in the kauni sense, submitting to Allah, the one free of all imperfection. None can stand to oppose Allah or work against him in whatever he wants as to his universal decree. Is this, inshallah, understood? طيب, alhamdulillah. Now, as to the specific worship, alhamdulillah, as to the specific worship, al-ibadah al-shar'iyya, which is the submission to Allah, the Most High's shar' legislation, then this is specific to the believers in Allah, the one free of all imperfection, who carry out His commands. Then, some of this is even more specific and some is less. The more specific worship is like that of the messengers alayhim salatu wasalam. I mean, their worship cannot be equivalent to the worship of the common believers. Their worship is a more specific one. The more specific worship is like that of the messengers alayhim salatu wasalam, as signified in the saying of Allah the Most High in Surah Al-Furqan 25 verse 1. تبارك الذي نزل الفرقان على عبده ليكون للعالمين نذيرا. Blessed be Allah who sent down the criterion, meaning the Quran, to his slave, look at this, to his slave عبده محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Also in Allah saying, وإن كنتم في ريب مما نزلنا على عبدنا فأتوا بصورة من مثله وادعوا شهداءكم من دون الله إن كنتم صادقين. And if you pagan Arabs Jews and Christians are in doubt concerning that which we have sent down, Surah Al-Baqarah, of course, 223. If you Arab pagans, Jews and Christians are in doubt concerning that which we have sent down, meaning the Quran, to our slave Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then produce a surah, a chapter of the like thereof, and call your witnesses, supporters and helpers besides Allah if you are truthful. And this is a challenge, as you know. Also in Allah saying in Surah Sa'd 38:45, وَذْكُرْ عِبَادَنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ أُولِي الْأَيْدِي وَالْأَبْصَارِ. And remember our slaves. Who are these our slaves? The messengers. Ibrahim, Ishaq, and Yaqub, all owners of strength in worshipping us and also of religious understanding. And the like of these verses describing the messengers alayhimu salatu wassalam with al-ubudiyya, with the slavery to Allah, with the most perfect submission to Him. So this ends now the Shaykh's answer to this question. The third question: would those specifically choosing al-ibad al-kawniyya, the universal worship, and excluding al-ibad al-shar'iyya, the legislative worship, would they be rewarded? The answer: those will not be rewarded for it, because they are submitting to Allah willingly or unwillingly. Meaning those choosing al-irad al-kawniyya or al-ibad al-kawniyya, the universal submitting, they are not to be rewarded for that, because they are submitting to Allah willingly or unwillingly. And so man may get sick, may turn poor, and lose his beloved ones, having no desire whatsoever for this. In fact, he dislikes it. But this is submission to Allah the Mighty and the Majestic in the universal kawni sense, in the universal sense, which no one can escape. The decree of Allah in its universal sense is passing, is sure to pass. It is sure to pass. So this is the answer for the third question. The fourth question, it's under the subdivision, the first obligation upon the slaves of Allah. The question therefore came in the following format: what is the first obligation upon the creation? The answer: the first duty upon the creation is the first thing they are called to. And this has been made clear by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the great companion Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he sent him to Yemen. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّكَ سَتَأْتِي قَوْمًا أَهْلَ كِتَابٍ فَإِذَا جِئْتَهُمْ فَادْعُهُمْ إِلَىٰ أَنْ يَشْهَدُوا أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And the wording is that of Al-Bukhari. Verily you reach a community of the people of the book. So the first thing, look at this highest priority, the first thing to which you should call them to is the testification that La ilaha illallah, nothing has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's messenger. This is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And this, the reported version is that of Al-Bukhari in his Sahih. So this is the very first obligation on the ibad, on the bondsmen, that they testify to the oneness of Allah the Mighty and Majestic, and to testify of His Messenger's message. And it is through believing in the oneness and uniqueness of Allah, which is the Tawheed. Allah, the one free of all imperfection, and the testimony as to His Messenger being trusted with the message. That ikhlas and mutaba'a, both of which constitute the prerequisite for the acceptance of every worship, would be realized. What does this really mean? Ikhlas and mutaba'a. Let's have these words inshallah, so that we learn the Islamic terminology. Ikhlas and mutaba'a. Ikhlas, yes, means to purify, and it signifies that the Muslim, by his worship, intends and desires the face of Allah, the Most Majestic. Mutaba'a, yeah, correct, close to. Ikhlas means to purify, and it signifies that the Muslim, by his worship, intends and desires the face of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, and to reach Al-Jannah, Paradise, the place where Allah bestows honor and favors. So the Muslim worships none along with Allah, making the religion purely and sincerely for him. This is ikhlas. As to the other one, mutaba'a, mutaba'a is an infinitive noun ikhlas to purify, okay, of tabi'a in Arabic. It's an infinitive noun. It means to follow, to comply with, adhere to, etc. And it means the religious meaning of it is the pursuing of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam guidance in all matters of deen. The pursuing of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam guidance in all matters of religion. So this constitutes therefore both ikhlas and mutaba'a. This constitutes the very first obligatory duty on the ibad, that they must single Allah out as the only true God worthy of worship, and therefore worship requires ikhlas and mutaba'a, and to testify of His Messenger's message, meaning that He is entrusted with it and that He proclaimed it in its entirety. Hence the shahada, the testimony of La ilaha illallah, comprises the entire tawheed. Comprises the entire Tawheed. Now, the coming subdivision is the relation of Shahada, this testimony of faith, with the types of Tawheed. With the types of Tawheed. Question: does Ash-Shahada comprise the types of Tawheed? Does Ash-Shahada comprise the types of Tawheed? The answer: indeed, it does encompass the types of Tawheed altogether, either by inclusion or implication. Either by the way of inclusion or implication. This is because a person's statement, "I testify that La ilaha illallah," is immediately understood such that the intended meaning is Tawheedul Ibadah, meaning to single Allah out with all worship. And that's why it is very important to explain to the people who are coming to Islam, what does this Shahada mean? This type of Tawheed is called Tawheedul Uluhiyyah, the Tawheed pertaining to the divinity of Allah, singling Allah alone as the only true God worthy of being worshipped. And this type, which is Tawheedul Uluhiyyah, is inclusive of the second type of tawheed, which is tawheed al-rububiyyah, which is to single Allah out with creation, sovereignty, and control of affairs. I will repeat. To single Allah out with all worship means tawheed al-uluhiyyah. Okay. Inclusive in this is to single Allah out with creation, sovereignty, and control of affairs, which means tawheed al-rububiyyah. Because, why is it such? Because everyone who worships Allah alone would not worship Him until he firmly attests that lordship is exclusively His. Lordship, meaning that creation, sovereignty, and control of affairs is exclusively His. So do you see that? That's right. To single Allah out of all worship means tawheed al-uluhiyyah. Please remember these definitions because they are very, very helpful. To single Allah out with all worship means tawheed al-uluhiyyah. Uluhiyyah can be translated between parentheses divinity. Inclusive in this meaning is to single Allah out, to single Him out with creation, sovereignty, and control of affairs, which means tawheed al-rububiyyah, which means lordship belongs only to Allah. Also, it comprises singling Allah out with all the unique names and attributes. This comprises Tawheed al-Asma'i wa-Sifat. So these are the three types of Tawheed now. Tawheed al-Asma'i wa-Sifat is to single Allah out with all of the most beautiful names and superlative attributes which He has affirmed for Himself, or which His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has affirmed for Him, without changing or distorting the meaning of the attributes, which is in Arabic called tahrif, without denying or suspending their meanings, which is called ta'til, without specifying how they are, which is called takyif, and without exemplification, which means tamthil. It also involves denying all that which Allah has denied from Himself. So I will repeat now and try to simplify it more and more. Tawheed is included or is implied in the shahada. When the person says La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah. Naam. So this shahada comprises, when you say La ilaha illallah, that you are singling Allah as the only true God worthy of worship. And this is called Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, or Tawheed of Divinity. The second, it is implied in this aspect of Tawheed to single Allah out with lordship, meaning that He is the creator, to Him belongs the creation, the sovereignty, and control of affairs. Also, is it comprises singling Allah out with all of the most beautiful names and attributes as He described Himself, without distortions of the meanings, without denying or suspending them, without specifying how His attributes are, and without exemplification. So this is all comprised or implied in the shahada. And this is why Ibrahim, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, said to his father, إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِي, لما تعبد ما لا يسمع ولا يبصر ولا يغني عنك شيئا. In Surah Maryam 19:42, O my father, why do you worship that which hears not? Look, worship. Why do you worship? Then, that which hears not, sees not, and can't avail you in anything. So, Tawheed Al-Uluhiyya comprises therefore both Tawheed of Lordship and Tawheed of Names and Attributes. Now we come to the subdivision under the title The Meaning of Tawheed. The Meaning of Tawheed. And therefore question number 6. I wish this statement, inshallah, the Shahada implies, the Shahada comprises and implies, because it is inclusive and by implication. Singling Allah for worship, Tawheed al-Uluhiyya. Singling Allah for Lordship, Tawheed al-Rububiyya. Singling Allah as owner of all names and attributes without distortion, etc. Now, inshallah, if once that is corrected, then we can keep these texts, inshallah. When people come and we say what is Tawheed and its part and its three types, then inshallah this will be handy to explain and to give to the people, inshallah. Tayyib, what is the meaning of Tawheed? Question number 6. The answer. The Shaykh rahimahullah answered by saying the following. The meaning of Tawheed, which Tawheed means in the translation of the meaning, and the details will come, it means oneness and uniqueness of Allah. The meaning of Tawheed is understood from the real implementation of the term. This is due to the fact that it is a verbal noun from the verb wahhada. From the verb wahhada, yuwahhidu. That is, he unified something and made it one. And this cannot be realized except through two aspects. The first aspect, denial, and the second aspect, affirmation. Negation of this ruling, meaning negation of this ruling, that is oneness or uniqueness for everything other than that which is it made for, and affirmation of it for him. Denial and affirmation. So for example, we say a person's tawheed is not complete unless he testifies that La ilaha illallah, none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. Thus he denies divinity for everything besides Allah, and he affirms it to Allah alone. So that's why we have the two aspects, denial and affirmation. So in the testimony of faith, the person is denying that divinity could be given or attributed to anything besides Allah, and then affirming it to Allah alone. That's why he says إِلَّا اللَّهُ, affirming that only to Allah alone. And this is due to the fact that absolute negation is nothing but absolute denial, while absolute affirmation does not prevent others from sharing in the ruling. Let's take an example. For example, if you say such and such is standing. Listen to this example, inshallah it will be clear. Such and such is standing. Here you have affirmed the standing for him. However, you didn't single him out with all standing, because it is possible that someone else might be sharing with him in his standing. Now, and if you say none is standing, and if you say none is standing, then you have made an absolute denial and you didn't affirm the standing for anyone. However, if you say, let's have this text written inshallah, if you say none is standing except Zayd X, or none is standing except such and such, then you are singling out Zayd or X or such and such with the standing, since you have negated the standing from everyone else besides this person that you are referring to. And this is the implementation of Tawheed in reality, meaning that Tawheed is not considered true Tawheed until it comprises denial and affirmation. Denying divinity for everything besides Allah and affirming that all worship is due to Him alone. This is the meaning of Tawheed. Now, question number 7. We would like that the types of Tawheed be defined in general. The answer: the types of Tawheed, according to what has been stated by the learned scholars, are 3. Now we have them written earlier: Tawheed of Lordship, Rububiyya; Tawheed Al-Uluhiyya of Divinity; Tawheed Al-Asma Wa-Sifat, Names and Attributes. The scholars, the learned men of Islam, have come to this conclusion through pursuing verification, exploration, and studying of the verses and ahadith. They found that the Tawheed is nothing but these three types, and accordingly they have classified the Tawheed into these three types: Tawheed al-Rububiyya, Lordship, belongs to Allah alone, meaning that He is qualified with the creation, sovereignty and running of the affairs; Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, that all worship is due to Him alone; and Tawheed al-Asma' wa-Sifat, meaning single Him out alone, being qualified with all the most perfect names and attributes as He defined Himself, without any type of distortion, without any type of assigning a manner to His majestic names and attributes or actions, and without denial or suspending of their meanings, and without exemplification. So this comprises the three aspects and three types of Tawheed. Now, question 8. What are the three types? Please clarify and give examples. The Shaykh rahimahullah answered, قال الجواب, the answer: the types of Tawheed as regard to Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, all fall under a general definition. And that is to single Allah, the one free of all imperfection, to single Him out with all that is particular to Him. I'll repeat, this is the general definition of Tawheed. The general definition of Tawheed is to single Allah, the one free of all imperfection, out with all that is particular to Him. And there are three types. Number one, Tawheed al-Rububiyya, which is to single out Allah with creation, sovereignty and control of affairs. Since Allah alone is the creator, there is no creator besides Him. Allah states in the Noble Quran in Surah Fatir 35 verse 3, هَلْ مِنْ خَالِقٍ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ يَرْزُقُكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ فَأَنَّا تُؤْفَكُونَ. Is there any creator other than Allah who provides for you from the sky rain and the earth? لا إله إلا هو. None has the right to be worshipped but He. So Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, to single Allah out with creation, sovereignty, and control of all affairs. And Allah the Most High said, exposing the futility of the deities of the unbelievers, in Surah An-Nahl, chapter 16, verse 17, أَفَمَنْ يَخْلُقُ كَمَنْ لَا يَخْلُقُ أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Is then He who creates as one who creates not? Will you not then remember? So now we are focusing on the singling Allah out with what? With creation. These verses are pertaining to the creation. So He, Allah, is the sole creator. He created everything and gave everything its due and decreed measure. His creating includes whatever occurs due to His actions, as well as all that which occurs as a result of the actions of His creation. For this reason, it is from the complete belief in Al-Qadr, in Allah's pre-decree, that you believe that Allah the Most High creates the actions of creation, as He the Most High says, وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. And Allah created you and your handiwork. One way to direct this is that the action of the abd, the slave, is from the slave's attributes. And this slave is created by Allah. And that the creator of something is a creator of its attributes. Another angle to this is that the action of the slave is caused by a determined will and complete ability, both of which are created by Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Indeed, the creator of the complete cause is the creator of the effect. I will repeat. Indeed, the creator of the complete cause is the creator of the effect. But then if you say, how is it that we say that He, Allah, is singled out with creation, even though creation may be affirmed to other than Him, as evident in the saying of Allah the Most High in the following verse in Surah Al-Mu'minun 23 verse 14, فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. So blessed be Allah, the best of creators. Let's have this, the best of creators. So blessed be Allah, the best of creators. Best of the creators indicates that there are other creators. Also, in the saying of the Prophet ﷺ regarding picture makers, quote, it will be said to them on the day of resurrection, put life in that which you have created. You have created? Okay, this is in Bukhari and Muslim. The answer to this is that, quote, that someone other than Allah, the Most High, does not create like Allah's creation. Indeed, anyone other than Allah cannot bring into existence something non-existent, nor can He bring life to the dead. Rather, the creation by other than Allah, the Most High, the one free of all imperfection, takes place by means of, let's write this down, Sister Umm Ahmed, by means of changing and transforming of a thing from one condition into another. That's right. Changing and transforming of a thing from one condition into another. Yet, the thing itself is a creation by Allah. The thing being changed and transformed is itself a creation of Allah. The picture maker, for example, when he makes a picture, he does not create anything. In reality, all that he did is that he transformed something into something. Exactly. MashaAllah. In reality, all that he did is that he transformed something into something else. Just as one transforms clay into the form of a bird or that of a camel, and as one transforms a white sheet into a colored picture by means of coloring. All the ink as well as the white paper is from the creation of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. So this is the difference between the affirmation of creation with regard to Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, and its affirmation with regard to the created being. Accordingly, Allah the Most High is singled out with creation which is particular to Him. Allahu Akbar. The second pillar of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. So we talked about the first one, which is creation. The second is singling out Allah with sovereignty, meaning that Allah the Exalted is the sole owner, as He the Most High says in Surah Al-Mulk 67 verse 1, تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير. Blessed be Allah, He in whose hand is the dominion, and He is the able to do all things. And He subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, قل من بيده ملكوت السماوات قل من بيده ملكوت كل شيء وهو يجير ولا يجار عليه إن كنتم تعلمون. Say, in whose hand is the sovereignty of everything? And He protects all, while against whom there is no protector, if you know. So the one to whom belongs the absolute and all comprehensive sovereignty is Allah alone. And attributing sovereignty to other than Allah is only a relative matter. Only a relative matter. In fact, Allah the Exalted affirmed ownership to other than Him, as in His saying, أو ما ملكتم مفاتحه. There is no fault that you should eat in your houses or from that whereof you hold keys. And also in His, the Most High, saying, إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين. And those who guard their chastity except from their wives or the captives and slaves that their right hands possess. And so, the like from these, or from these texts which prove that other than Allah may have a dominion, but this sovereignty is unlike the sovereignty of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Rather, it is an inadequate, restricted, and incomprehensive dominion. And so, Zayd's house, X's house, does not belong to Amr, to Y, and vice versa. Moreover, this dominion is limited in the sense that the person is unable to dispose freely what he possesses except in the way he is permitted to do so. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ forbade the wasting of wealth. And Allah the Most High said, وَلَا تُؤْتُ السُّفَهَاءَ أَمْوَالَكُمُ الَّتِي جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا. Surah Al-Mu'minun, 23:5-6. And now An-Nisa 4:5. وَلَا تُؤْتُ السُّفَهَاءَ أَمْوَالَكُمُ الَّتِي جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا. And give not unto the foolish your property that Allah has made a means of support for you. And this is a proof that man's dominion is inadequate and limited, unlike the sovereignty and dominion of Allah, the one free from all imperfection and the Most High, which is a general, all-comprehensive and absolute sovereignty. He subhanahu wa ta'ala does whatever he wants, and he cannot be questioned as to what he does, while they, mankind, will be questioned. Now, the third pillar of lordship is that Allah is singled out with tadbir, with control of all affairs. Allah is singled out with control of all affairs. So Allah, the one free of all imperfection, is the one who controls the affairs of the creation. He disposes the affairs of the heavens and the earth, as He, the Most High, says, أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ تَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. In Surah Al-A'raf 754, surely His is the creation and commandment, blessed be Allah, the Rabb of all the worlds, the Lord of all the worlds. This control of all affairs is comprehensive. Nothing can prevent or oppose it. The disposal of affairs by some creatures, like man's control of the disposal of his wealth, his children, servants, and so forth, is a narrow, limited, and restricted, not absolute kind of control. So this stands to prove that the statement Tawheed al-Rububiyyah is to single out Allah with creation, sovereignty, and control of affairs is true. This is the meaning of Tawheed of Lordship, al-Rububiyyah. As for the second type of Tawheed, which is Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, Tawheed pertaining to the divinity, singling Allah alone in worship, then it is to single Allah out with all worship, such that a person does not take anyone else besides Allah and worships Him, and or do acts of devotion for Him as he worships Allah and does acts of devotion for Allah. And it is with regard to this type of Tawheed that the polytheists went astray. Those whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fought, and whose wealth, land, and homes he had made lawful to be taken, and whose woman folk and children he took as captives, and it is this type which the messengers were sent with, and with which the books were brought down, together with its two fellow types, Tawheed of Lordship and Tawheed of the Names and Attributes. However, most of the striving of the messengers with their people was with regard to this type of Tawheed, Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, divinity, such that a person does not direct anything of worship to other than Allah, neither to a close angel, nor to any prophet sent as a messenger, nor to a righteous wali, true friend of Allah, nor to anyone from the creation. Because worship is not correct except for Allah, the mighty and majestic. Whoever violates this type of Tawheed is a mushrik, an unbeliever, even if he affirms Tawheed of Lordship and Tawheed of Names and Attributes. So if a man believes that Allah, the one free of all imperfection and the Most High, is the Creator, the Owner, the one who controls all affairs, and that He is the one who is worthy of all that which He deserves from His names and attributes, but he worships besides Allah other than Him, then his affirmation of Lordship and of the names of attributes is of no avail to him. So if it were to be the case that a man totally affirms the Tawheed of Lordship and of the names and attributes, but he went to a grave and worshipped its occupant, or he vowed to offer him a sacrifice in order to draw nearer to him, then he would be a mushrik, an unbeliever, an inhabitant of the hellfire forever if he dies on that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly states, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارٍ. Indeed, whoever associates anything in worship with Allah, then Allah has forbidden paradise for him, and the fire will be his abode. And for the transgressors who worship others besides Allah, there will be no helpers to save them from Allah's punishment on the day of resurrection. And it is a matter known to everyone who recites the book of Allah, the Quran, that the mushriks, the pagans whom the Prophet ﷺ fought and whose blood he deemed lawful to seek and whose wealth he had made lawful to take and whose woman folk and children he took as captives and whose land he took as booty, used to be in agreement that Allah the Most High alone is the Lord and the Creator. They had no doubt concerning this, but since they used to worship others along with Allah, they as a result became mushriks, unbelievers, whose blood were made allowable to seek and whose wealth were made lawful to take. As for the third type of tawheed, which is tawheed al-asma' wa-sifat, singling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is to single out Allah, the one free of all imperfections and the Most High, with whatever names and attributes he has, respectively, named or described himself with in his book or on the tongue of his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is established by affirming what Allah has affirmed for himself without tahreef, changing or twisting their wording and meanings, without ta'til, denying or divesting Allah of his attributes, without takyif, asserting how they are, and without tamthil, likening them to those of creation. It's inevitable that we have faith in whatever names and attributes which Allah has affirmed for himself based upon al-haqiqah, their real and true meanings, but without takyif, without asserting a manner to them, and without tamthil, likening them to those of the creation, and not according to metaphoric interpretations, al-majaz. It is with regard to this type of tawheed that many groups from this ummah who have the same direction towards the qibla and who follow, but in different ways, the religion of Islam has gone astray. Some of them exaggerated in the aspects of denial and in tanzih, in elevating Allah above all forms of imperfection, to the point that they would take the exaggerator out of Islam. Some took a moderate stand, while others were closer to the creed of Ahlul Sunnah. But the way of the Salaf with regard to this type of tawheed is that Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, is to be named and qualified with whatever he names and qualifies himself with, and in accordance with their real and true meanings, without tahreef, without changing or twisting their wording or meaning, without ta'til, without denial of them, without takyif, without specifying how they are, and without tamthil, without likening them to those of the creation. As an example, Allah, the one free of all imperfections, named himself Al-Hayy, the ever-living. Al-Qayyum. Al-Qayyum means the one who is established on his own, self-subsisting, by whom all things subsist. He sustains, protects, prepares, and runs the affairs of all things as he wills in accordance with his knowledge, wisdom, and justice. This is the meaning of Al-Qayyum, by the way. Tayyib. Al-Hayy, the ever-living, Al-Qayyum. So we must believe in Al-Hayy, the ever-living, as a name of the names of Allah, and in the attribute implied by this name, and that is the perfect life, which is neither preceded by Adam, by non-existence, nor coming to a not. And Allah, the one free of all imperfections and the Most High, named himself As-Sami', Al-Alim, all-hearer, all-knower. Therefore we must believe in As-Sami', the one who is all-hearer, as a name of the names of Allah, And that hearing is one of his attributes. And we believe that he hears, which is the ruling necessitated by this name and this attribute. Because an all hearer without hearing or without understanding what is heard is something impossible. Likewise, one must deal with the rest of the names and attributes. Another example. Allah the Supremely Exalted said, وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ يَدُ اللَّهِ مَغْلُولَةٌ غُلَّتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَلُعِنُوا بِمَا قَالُوا بَلْ يَدَاهُ مَبْسُوطَتَانِ يُنْفِقُ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ. The Jews say, Allah's hand is tied up. He doesn't give and spend of his bounty. Be their hands tied up, and be they accursed of what they uttered. Nay, both hands are widely outstretched. He spends of his bounty as he wills. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, بَلْ يَدَاهُ مَبْسُوطَتَانِ. Nay, both his hands are widely outstretched. So here Allah affirmed for himself two hands, described by al-bast, which is the bountiful giving. This is the obviously understood meaning, and therefore it is true and real meaning as determined from the context itself. So it is binding upon us to believe that Allah the Most High has two hands stretched forth with bountiful giving and favors. And we must not try to assert how these hands are, neither by our hearts, nor by our imagination, or by our tongues, and that we must not liken them to the hands of the creatures, because Allah, the one free of all imperfection, says, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Nothing is like unto him, and he is the all hearer and all seer. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّيَ الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنْ وَالْإِثْمَ وَالْبَغْيَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَأَنْ تُشْرِكُ بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا وَأَنْ تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Look at the last part of the following verse, 733. Say, O Muhammad, the things that my Lord has indeed forbidden are al-fawahish, great evil sins, every kind of unlawful sexual intercourse and so forth, whether openly or secretly, sins of all kinds, wrongful oppression, joining partners in worship with Allah for which He has given no authority, and this is the point of evidence, and saying things about Allah of which you have no knowledge. The last part of the verse. And also Allah the Mighty and Magnificent says, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. And follow not, O man, say not, or don't, or witness not that of which you have no knowledge of. Example, one saying, I have seen, while in fact he doesn't see, or I have heard, while he hasn't really heard. Verily, the hearing and the sight and the heart of each of those of you will be questioned by Allah. So whoever resembles the hands of Allah to the hands of the creatures, then he has rejected the saying of Allah the Most Mighty and Majestic, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Nothing is like unto him, and he is the all-hearer, all-seer. And furthermore, he has disobeyed Allah the Exalted in his saying, فَلَا تَضْرِبُوا لِلَّهِ الْأَمْثَالِ. So put not forward similitudes for Allah, as there is nothing similar to him, nor he resembles anything. And whoever assigns a specification, a kayf, to the hands of Allah, and says that they are of a particular manner, any manner, then he has said about Allah of which he has no knowledge, and followed that of which he has no knowledge.